Well, today we're beginning a new sermon series, and this series is going to walk us the entire way through Lent. Yes, you heard me. It is going to walk us the entire way through Lent. And I pray that it's something that will touch your hearts. One of the brothers here in our church, this is one of his favorite verses and a life verse for him. So if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 15 is what I'm going to read. Because the Scripture says here that we walk by faith, not by sight. And I want us to understand a little bit about that and how the church needs to be. For the past several years, we've been laying a foundation. And now we're going to begin moving out from that foundation. It's time for us to ask God to increase our territory. It's time for us as a church to say, we've got the basics, Lord. Now start expanding us. Start growing us, not only in spirit, but in number. And how does that happen? That only happens when a people of God walk by faith, and for a very important reason. Now, today is also the first time that I'm going to be preaching out of our new word that we're using, which is the NASB. So what I'm going to read is going to be a little bit different from what you have in your pew Bible, but that's okay. It'll help us to get a fuller dimension of God's word. From the first verse in the 5th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, thus saith the Lord, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, dear friends, please remember, God's not talking about a real house. God's talking about your life. He's talking about your being, okay? He's talking about you, that we have a heavenly body that is being prepared for us, that we now live in this earthly tent, this flawed piece of flesh. And there is in store for us a heavenly body, which God will give us. By faith, we believe that, right? For indeed, in this house, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. How many of us long for that day when we'll have no more arthritis, no more needing glasses, no more having to worry about allergies, no more worrying about being overweight and or. And we can list everything in those categories. Because the day will come when we will have a perfect body that will last for all eternity. I look at this body and say, 53 years? Really? I'll never make 53 more. Praise God. Because I'm waiting for the rapture, looking forward to it. And that's what this is speaking of. From verse 3, he says, inasmuch as we have putting it on, will not be found naked. What is that talking about? And inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. In other words, we're not going to be found in this flesh. We're not going to be found in our sin. We're going to be found in a righteousness. We're not going to be found wicked. We're going to be found in this new body, in this new being. We're going to be found in Christ. We're not going to be naked. Our nakedness, our sin will not be seen. God doesn't see our sin, even when He looks upon us now, because He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Moving on from verse 4. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Other Scripture says, as a guarantee. And I like that a little bit more than this translation. But this translation is true too, because a pledge is a guarantee. Because when God pledges something, it's going to happen. Amen? Therefore, being always of good courage, boy, how many of us can say that with integrity? Therefore, being always of good courage, that only comes when we walk by faith, because in this world, we are discouraged. In this world, we are confused. In this world, we are put down. But God, in His righteousness, raises us up to a new life. And we're going to speak about that here in a little while. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, For we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the things I want you to understand here, that word walk, this is a Hebrew thought, okay, translated into a Greek word. To walk by faith does not mean to put one foot in front of the other like I'm doing right now. To walk by faith means to live. These people looked at their walk as their life, okay? We talk about the journey. We're on a journey. That journey is your life. So we live by faith. Everything we do, every breath we take, every thought we have. That's why it says in the Scriptures, take captive every thought in Christ Jesus. Because as we walk by faith, as we live by faith, that means we're turning everything over to God. We're allowing Him and His Word to permeate all that we are, every decision we make. It's a choice. Every day we have to get up and make that choice over and over and over again. Every moment of every day when every decision comes your way, you've got to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. How easy is that? When the throes of life come at us and things are happening, boom, 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 it is so easy to turn away from God, to drop the thoughts of God, and just walk headlong into this thing because I got to get through it. But God says, no, take one moment. You see, I get to talking and I don't even realize it went dead because this thing just keeps working. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It never stops. No comment from the peanut gallery. Therefore, we being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight, understanding that when we walk by sight, if we begin to empower something, we're responsible to maintain it and keep it going. How much power does that take? It takes more power than you and I have. But if we walk by faith and we allow God to empower it, God to direct us into something, whether it be a job that we have no idea. I mean, how long did it take to get you to where you are, Chuck? You wanted this job working with the state, right? Working with the Turnpike. How long did it take you to get there? Did you enjoy working at Penske? Did you enjoy learning how to drive trucks? Did you enjoy going through all that stuff? I can remember our conversations. Why? I don't understand, and I kept telling him, Chuck, you got to take the steps by faith. God's doing what He needs to do to get you where you need to be. And look where you are, right where you asked to be. Absolutely. I know it. That's one of the reasons you're one of our head deacons, because you've lived it. You've seen it. You've experienced it, and you won't let it go. You constantly continue to walk in that reality. Mitch, how many people can you affect with the gospel?
Over 2 billion.
How? How? By faith. Knowing that your word isn't changing them, right? But the word of God through the Gideons is doing a work far greater than any of us could ever hope. Because men by faith are out there doing what only God can do. But He uses people. God gives us the privilege of being His ambassadors, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. We are of good courage only when we walk by faith. And I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. I can remember the first time I spoke this to my wife, she thought I wanted to commit suicide. But now that she's in the Lord, she understands it fully. We do long to be with the Lord. We want to be in His presence. We want to experience that love and grace and mercy and everything else that is unending. But until that day, we have a work to do. And that's what it says. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. In other words, we speak the gospel out of our mouths out of our lives. As we walk by faith, we are walking and living the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I may be the only Bible these people ever read. And how do they read it? By watching who and what we are and say and do. But the scripture goes on. It says, but we are made manifest to God. Oh, I love that word. What does made manifest mean? This is so awesome. I have here in my little footnotes. First footnote in my new Bible. First foot in my foot yeah, blah. Footnote in my new Bible. It says, by faith, God knows us. By faith, God knows us. He sees us. By faith, only by faith, He can interact with us. We are made manifest to Him. We are real to Him, and He is real to us. To be made manifest means to come into the presence of, to be real in front of, to be there. And we are made manifest to God. We are brought into His presence. And one of the things you need to understand, the opposite of that then is true. Without faith, God doesn't know us. Without faith, we are nothing to Him. Because it is only by faith that we are saved. And faith in His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When you and I understand that walking by faith makes us manifest before God, all of a sudden there's a reality in our lives. God is also made manifest to us. How many of us who are in Christ now walk our lives and can sin uncontrollably and feel good about it? How many of us, when we do the simple, dumbest little thing, feel convicted because we did that? That's because God is made manifest to us. We see Him. We understand His holiness. And we realize we fall short and we need, by faith, the grace of God that we heard of last week. And it's that grace by faith that saves us. And that through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. There's a lot of people in this world that they want to see who a man is. They want to understand from what you do. And what Paul is talking about here is as we walk by faith, we don't take the glory, we give the glory to God. That He may be made manifest in their lives. That they may see that He is controlling us. And that what we're doing is not of our own accord, but of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because again, we're giving them an occasion to be proud of us, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done in us. And for them to long to be that very reality. For if we are beside ourselves... And I love that. How many of us get beside ourselves? You know, as a Pennsylvania Dutch person, you really do understand that. I think there's some places in our world that probably wouldn't understand that. But as Pennsylvania Dutch people, we understand it so well because I get beside myself all the time. How do you do that? That's when you're fighting the two natures, isn't it? The nature of this flesh and the nature of eternity. They come at battles with each other. And the next thing you know, if you're like me, you're having whole conversations with yourself. You're barking and growling at yourself. You know, I just the other day I was doing it. Lynn said to me, what? I ain't talking to you. And she could be glad. I was talking to me. But we all do it, don't we? We get beside ourselves. Because we're fighting that war. It is a conscious choice. It is a battle every day, in every moment, in every situation. And the reality is, by faith, we have overcome the world. For Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and He has given us His full authority and power. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. That's the only way that we receive faith, is to take to heart the life that Christ gave up for us, to take upon ourselves His death on the cross that we might live. He paid a price that He didn't owe. He took our penalty and carried it to the cross of Calvary, descended into hell for 3 days, deposited all our sin there, and He came up from the grave alive and well, changed, a new creature, the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. And to that be the glory of God, because that's where we now find ourselves when we walk, when we live by faith. As we look at what it means to walk by faith, one of the things that we need to understand is what is involved in it. Okay, Pastor, how does this all happen? What's going on? How do we make this work? Well, I got to get through these 3 steps, so we're going to go through them quickly. Number one, faith walking comes only if we're changed. Look at verses 16 and 17, and 16 through 21, where we just were in Corinthians. And I closed my Bible, so I got to turn back to it. 16 through 21. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. We knew Christ lived in the flesh, but does He live in the flesh anymore? No. He lives in the Spirit, in a resurrected body. So too in Him is our hope. In that same resurrection that He now lives, so too shall we live. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Therefore, here it is, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Somebody say amen. When we understand that we are a new creature, the old is gone, the new has come, that means every day you've got to get up and say, bye-bye, old self. Today I'm living for Christ. This moment I'm living for Christ. And as every situation comes into your life, you take captive every thought that comes, and you understand that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we need to operate in a different paradigm, okay? Old software out, new software in. And the new software is called the Scriptures, the Word of God, and we need to live by it, in it, and through it. When you and I come to the place of understanding that this new creature is something that every day we have to take upon ourselves, every moment of every decision, because I hate to tell you this, Keith, you're stuck in your flesh, aren't you? Every one of us, I don't know who in here, can you pull yourself out of this flesh? Not physically, but spiritually you can. Spiritually you can put on the fullness of Christ. He has given us that ability. He says, you are a new creation. You are in Christ. And if you are in me and I am in you, we're both in the Father. Woohoo! There's some duds I'd like to wear every day, because I know in that I am going to operate in a new manner, because we're talking about transformation. We're talking about restoration. We're talking about the glory of God, the image of God, once again, is who we become. But that only comes when we're willing to walk in this new, progressive sanctification. Because you and I ain't all there yet, are we? How many of us still have things we're working on? Amen. And that means every day, in every situation, when you're about to growl at your wife for something stupid because you haven't had your first cup of coffee, do you see how I tie this stuff together? Who needs an attitude adjustment? Who needs to come under the Spirit of God? Who needs the grace and love of Christ to truly be made manifest in them? Each and every one of us should be saying, me. Because that's what living that new life is all about. Every moment of every day, realizing you can choose. You see, that's one of the things that's different between us and the angels. They can't choose. If they so choose, they're fallen, and they can never be restored. But we are a different thing. And it says, and the angels long to look into these things, because to them, this is an impossibility. Because how can these creatures that constantly turn from God be redeemed in a moment? But yet we can't. Because that's the way God created us. That's how God has loved us. We were created for this very purpose, to be able to choose to love God and walk in the grace, power, and mercy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thing that we need to do is believe. Believe and obey. Turn to Kings. 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings. This is Old Testament. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 6. And this is one of my favorite prophets. I have a couple, but this is one of my favorites. Elijah is here. And in chapter 6, we see something going on beginning in verse 8. And it's really kind of cool. Oops, 2 Kings. I'm in 1 Kings. I'm wondering why that doesn't look right. Be in the right book and it'll definitely look right. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 8 through 17. From verse 8. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. He called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots, a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Blessed be the word of our Lord. When you and I walk in the word of the Lord, when we obey the word of the Lord, greater is he who is with us than he who is in the world. When we walk by the word, there is nothing in this world that will overcome us. We need to believe and obey the word of God in everything that we are and do. And many times, and I'm going to say this, those things are going to seem impossible. The balloons and the kids. How many of you thought we were going to get 5 kids on there without one popping? When we look at what this world can do, what do you think can happen otherworldly? What do you think can really happen when God enters into a situation? Let's see. The sea can be rolled back that an entire nation of people can pass through. Let's see. Two fishes and five loaves can feed 5,000. Let's see. A man who says, "Call me," can walk on water. When we believe and obey by faith, God is responsible to empower our lives. That is not putting him to the test. That is his reality. He says, "Obey my commands," doesn't he? "Obey my commands, and all the promises of the scriptures will be yours." God will not be found a liar. He cannot lie. He says to us, "Come." He beckons us to come. And when we do, we will prove him right. No, he will prove himself true. That's the reality. How many of you ever, you know, and this is just one of Pastor's idioms. I love biblical archaeology, okay? Biblical archaeology throughout the ages has been finding more and more and more and more things to prove the Bible true when everybody says, "Oh, that's impossible, can't have happened. We don't have any historical record on that." So what do? They go out and dig. And guess what they find? I think it's so wonderful because everything in history, all the archaeologists, they're all walking around with their thumbs in their ears saying, guess that might have been. Yeah, guess what? God has never been found to be a liar. I love biblical archaeology. They are finding things. You know, it tells us in the book that the city of Ai was destroyed, and it was one of the first conquests. And they said, "Oh, well, the city of Ed didn't exist. Well, we found nothing that even, there's no place where it even recommend or stipulates that there was such a place." Well, guess what? They dug up this little mound. No, actually, it was a big mound. And when they dug it up, guess what they found? They found a whole city. Guess what the name of it was? Ai. And I love that name because isn't that what we would say if that, They had an epiphany. The manifestation of Christ in our lives. Isn't that awesome? There's a third thing that we need to do. We need to believe and obey. But we also need then to maintain focus. Turn to Matthew 14:22. And I do apologize that this one's taking so long. I promise you that the rest of these will not take quite this long. I did run a little over with the children's sermon, but that was just too much fun. That was just too much fun. Matthew 14:22. It says, while they were eating, he took some bread. Oop. That is not right. Yeah. Oh, I'm in Mark. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not right. Wow, this new Bible, the pages are really sticking. You know, I'm going to blame it on something, right? Matthew 14:22. Boy, it works when you turn to the right page. Immediately he made disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt? It's amazing what happens when we maintain focus. Peter here longed to be with Christ, and he said, "Call me to you." And when he heard the command of Christ, he went. He believed. He chose to walk by faith. He believed the word of God coming from the Savior, and he walked on water. Now, this is the part I love, because it says when he saw the wind. How many of you have ever seen the wind? You may see the destruction of the wind. You may see the cause of the wind. But it says when he saw the wind, he became afraid and began to sink, because he took his focus off of Christ. That's the whole point here. We can't see the wind. And many times you're going to lose focus from God, and you're not even going to know when it happens or why it has happened, but that it has happened, because the circumstances that are going to begin to befall you are going to be circumstances of suffering and destruction and chaos and turmoil and what have you. And when those things start to come, we need to stand up in Christ once again. We need to get our focus back on Christ again. When we focus all that we have on Christ and not the circumstances around us, the one whom we serve begins to take control of the universe that is around us. Remember, he made it, he built it, he created it, he sustains it. And if we trust him, he will walk us through it in such a way as to teach us and guide us. Yes, there will be things that come into our lives to help us learn, to help us get rid of some of the folly that is in our lives. But for the most part, what we will begin to find is that when we can't make a way, God already has. We just have to accept it and walk into it. Many of you think, boy, Pastor must be pretty good at what he does because he keeps this church together. Ha, 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 ha. Boy, I got you fooled. Because I have no idea what I'm doing. But I know who does, and I follow him every day. I get up every morning, and the first thing I do is pray. And then I read his word, and then I begin to walk and do the things that I need to do because I have ordained my steps, okay? I have planned my steps, excuse me, according to the Psalms. It says, man plans his steps, but God, what? God ordains them. In other words, if they're God's will, they're going to come about to be. But if they're not, whatever God has chosen for you is going to happen in that day. How many of us leave room for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives? How many of us make plans for the Holy Spirit to step in and change the course of things? I'll guarantee you, Moses didn't when he started. Neither did David, okay? Neither did Gideon. Neither did Abraham. But as they walked more and more with him, they realized how much they had to depend upon him and do what he said and allow God to have that control in their lives. When we start walking out with good intentions, a lot of times our faith falters. I want you to think about that, okay? When we look at Christ, and he says from the book of Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you think that means in your most troubling time of despair that God's going to simply be absent because he wants you to suffer? Absolutely not. God is going to be right there to help you walk through it. Because God doesn't want you to get around something. He doesn't want you to get by something. He doesn't want you to get under something. He wants you to get through it. Because it is in the getting through that you see victory. It is in the getting through that you are changed. When Peter was out there walking on the water, do you think the storm died down? Absolutely not. We know that for a fact because it says when he saw the wind. He didn't see the wind. He saw the waves, didn't he? He saw the effect of the wind. How many of us in our lives are affected by the winds of this world in such a way that when we look, we can see the things that are happening and we become fearful and all of a sudden we have to pull our boots up one strap at a time, right? Wrong. We need to trust God. We need to walk by faith. And you know what? There are going to be times when he's going to ask you to walk right into the midst of this storm and you're going to think, ain't no way. Well, you're right. Because there is no way you're going to be able to do it. But if we allow God to give us the strength and the power, any and everything that comes our way, we'll be able to get through because he will get us through it. It's not meant to be easy. It's meant to be transforming. This entire life. Folks, we are in a school for a reason. And it was so funny because I didn't realize it until last week. Bobby said to me, we is being schooled. And I was like, duh. This whole life is school. We're being prepared for eternity. Everything we go through has an eternal destination. This entire life is school. And that's where we need to be, with the master at the front of the room, listening, leading, following, being as he directs us. When we think about Peter and the fact that he faltered and fell, did Christ abandon him? Absolutely not. I think it's amazing because Peter could have tried to reach for the boat, but I think he was a little bit too far away from it to gain any sense of security. He could have called out to the disciples, but hey, they're in the boat in the middle of a storm. Do you think they were in any shape to help him? So who was there? The one who is always there, Christ our Lord. Because the rest of the people in this world are stuck in this thing too. And there is nothing that they can do to help us. But when we, the body of Christ, come together, just as I told the children here, when we by faith come together, how much can we affect the world? How much can we support? How much can we contain? How much can we hold? Not because of us, but because of Him who is in us. How much more can we do? How much more can we be? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that doesn't mean it's not going to be scary. It is going to be scary. There are going to be times when we're going to be apprehensive about the troubles that are coming around us. We're going to begin to doubt our ability to see our way through it. But at those times, that's when we need to reach out to the Father. That's when we need to reach out to the Lord. That's when we need to walk by faith. Because He's bigger than any circumstance we find ourselves in. Now, there are several things that you're not to do, okay? Don't take your eyes off of God. There is no other that will help you. Don't take your eyes off of the Bible. It is the only book that God has given us with the instructions. Bible stands for what? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Because when we get there, there's going to be a whole new set of rules because He hasn't talked to us about eternity yet. This is just the stuff for here and now, with a glimpse of what's coming. I can't wait till eternity because then He'll tell us personally. Amen? Don't take your eyes off of the gospel. It's the power of salvation. There is no other word by which man may be saved, say the name of Jesus. Don't take your eyes off the church. All the saved are in it. It's where iron sharpens iron. It's where the fellowship is that we can come together and overcome the world. Don't take your eyes off of faithfulness. And I love this because the devil will lead you astray. As soon as you take your eyes off of Christ, He who is faithful, because that is faithfulness. Because in all the situations that became Him, He stayed fast to the Word. And if we are as He is, faithful to the Word, Satan has to flee us. Okay? Don't take your eyes off of truth, because only truth can free us. It says in the Scriptures, what? That the truth will set you free, right? When we walk in truth, we are free. But dear brothers and sisters, I also want you to understand that we should never lose our focus, because the wind and waves of this world are going to come against us. You know what? Sometimes it's the wind and waves of our very church, our own religiosity, because we can be a religious people without being a righteous people. Amen? And there's a lot of people out there bringing doctrines of winds and waves where they're floating by this, and you've got to do it this way, and you've got to do it that way. What's God's Word say? His way is the only sure way. And when the doctrines of man and the creeds of man come against the Word of God, we need to understand there's a storm happening. And there's only one place we can go to find respite. And that's Jesus Christ our Lord, the Word of God, alive and well. Brothers and sisters, as we look to walking by faith, it is understanding that walking by faith involves three real things. It involves change, it involves being that new creation every day. It involves knowing, believing, and obeying God's word. And it involves maintaining focus. The thing you need to ask yourself is, are you walking by sight or are you walking by faith? I want to end with this illustration. One night, a house caught fire. It was a beautiful little house, family of four. Mom and dad and the little girl got out through the front door. The little boy was upstairs, Cape Cod, you know, one that has the windows in the roof of the house. Well, the entire downstairs was engulfed in flame, and the little boy got out on the roof, 6 years old. And he's screaming for help, looking for his dad. But all he could see was the flames and the smoke and the darkness of the night, because the flames and the smoke was billowing up from the eaves of the house. And the father was down on the ground. He could look up and see his son's feet. And he kept hollering at him, "Jump, I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you." But the little boy was so afraid because he felt secure on the roof because he had firm footing, but the fire was getting brighter and hotter and the smoke was getting worse and worse. And he said, "Daddy, I'm afraid. I can't see you." And the father hollered up, "It's okay. I can see you. Jump, I'll catch you." Brothers and sisters, the house is burning. And the Father is calling out to each and every one of us, "Jump, I'll catch you. I can see you. You may not be able to see me, but by faith you are made manifest to me. And I will catch you. Jump." We need to walk by faith, not by sight. For when we live by faith, God is there to take control of every situation. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, our Father, we come before you in the hope and glory of faith, that you have given us a grace that goes beyond anything we deserve, and you have given us a faith in that grace that allows us to see your truth and know the words that I spoke today are just that. Not because of me, but because of you. You are God. They're your words. And it's your life that we wish to live. Transform our hearts, Lord, that we may be truly walkers of faith. That when the world looks at us, that they don't see us, that they see you. And they want to know what's different, what's going on, what do you have, why are you so happy, why in all this turmoil can you smile? Because we know, Lord God, that you love us and you are in control of all things and that there is an eternity in store for us that is beyond any measure better than anything we could ever hope or dream. Lord, until that day we give you ourselves, that you would use us in this world. Father, I pray that you would hem each and every man, woman, and child in by the grace of your glory, that you would empower us to be the word of Christ himself into this world, and that by knowledge of your word, Lord, you would change not only our lives, but the lives of our hearers and the lives of our seers as we are out there doing and being the will of God, your will, that by faith we reckon all that we are and that we come to you in these last days knowing that only you hold the keys to life, for you are life itself. Father God, we give ourselves to you in this fullness, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son, our Lord and Savior. And all God's church said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.